Amen. We remember that Jesus died for us, that He came to earth, He took our sin, our shame, our guilt, our deservedness of hell, of separation from God, and He connected us with God. And that's kind of a great way to start today's service. Today we start a six-week sermon series called Reboot. But rebooting, if you're a guest here today, here's what's going on right now. We are going to reboot. We're going to look at everything that we do as a church. We're going to, and you need to understand, this is not a sermon series. This is a call, a season we're in that God has confirmed that if we want to see revival in Hoopston, if we want to see lost people find Jesus, if we want to see marriages and families and our community experience Jesus Christ, if we want to see the church become a church of 500-600 people, we need to be more focused on reaching the lost. See, we have right now, we're in a season in our church. If you are a guest here today, have not been here real long, 4 or 5 years ago, this church grew leaps and bounds. And in doing so, it was wonderful. People came to Christ. It was great. There was one Sunday, we baptized 28 people in this second service. And that's something I would love to experience again. But what happened was, as we grew, we became disconnected because we became too big to be involved in each other's lives. And we kind of lost a little bit of our being impactful in the community. So God is calling us to this thing called Reboot, where we look at everything we do. But the primary way that it's going to affect you is that God is calling us to connect with one another in doing life together and in doing life groups. Groups of 10 or 12 people where you do and have a focus on three things. Being in God's Word, because if you're a Christian, the Christian who isn't in God's Word doesn't exist. To know Jesus is to know the Word. To be in God's Word together, to fellowship and have connectedness with one another, and then to serve our community, because the Christian who doesn't serve doesn't exist either. We exist to reach lost people. And you are the church. Not me, not the building, not the staff. It is you and I. And God is showing us we're coming into a season where we must be much more connected. Isaiah 43 has been on my heart for a long time now. To remember not the former things of old or consider the things of old. God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. It will spring forth. Do you not perceive it, that you and I need to get this? He's going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God will make a way when we are obedient to Him. Amen? And if we as a church want to impact our community, we are getting closer and closer to the youth center opening. The board is doing a good job. We've got that going. But us as a church, if you're not 18 and under, we are not as connected as we should be. Who are you doing life with? Who are you studying the Word with? And who are you serving with within the church? Because just coming Sunday morning is going to fall so short of what you and I need to do. I care about our church. I care about my family. I care about you guys. I care about the type of lives we live. And Jeremiah 29 has a verse. I love it. It says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you, God says, and pray to the Lord in its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Another translation says, in its peace you will find your peace. In order for Hoopston to find Jesus Christ, in order for Hoopston to have this revival, to have this culture change, it's going to come from the church. It's going to come from us as Christians. Amen? And right now, we have lost getting out and impacting because we can't go together because we're not living together. So change is coming here to the church. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be full of abundance and harvest. And guys, if our title today for our message is called Unity and You. The only two things that we need to see people baptized like crazy and come to Christ like crazy and be made into disciples, to see our very world out here change in a radical way, what we need is unity and what we need is you. Because we're the church together, amen? Forget me, forget this big thing. What's the church? The church should do this. We should do it. We have to do it. We are called to do it. All that's needed is unity and you. Unity and you. And we have to get back and get our focus back on, are we seeing disciples made? Are we seeing people be baptized, come to Christ on a regular basis? When you think about disciples being made, guys, for so many of you come to church and you go and you come back Sunday, and that doesn't work. We're called to so much more than that. Because one of the things about not being connected, you can come to church Sunday, you can go out and live however you want and come back next Sunday, because guess what? Everybody looks great on Sunday morning. Everybody looks good on Sunday morning. Everybody has generally a smile on Sunday morning. How are you doing, brother, sister? I'm good. How are you? Jesus Christ has called us to be connected with one another. He has called us to be disciples who make disciples. And so all we need is unity in you. First of all, we need unity. Without connection, there can be no unity. If you're married today and you and your spouse never connect, you never pray together, talk, read the Word together, share your heart together, you're not going to be unified. And the same is true of a church. God is calling us into a season of challenge where we will participate more and serve more. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ, if you're here today, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm going to heaven. He has commissioned and commanded us to go into the world. And there's three things here that every Christian should be doing. You should be in the Word, you should be bearing one another's burdens, sharing life together, and you should be serving. Every life group will spend time together, they will break bread together, they will share the Word together, and they will serve together. Unity is so important. The early church, think about this, they lived together. They did everything together. The only thing that we're asking from you here today and over these next few weeks is to commit to spend an hour and a half with some people from church, reading God's Word, sharing life together, and at some point serving together. And right now the excuse train is coming into some of your stations. And we have to fight against that, guys. Think about the early church. They lived together. Would you guys like to live together? Let's put some dorms up. I'll tell you what, let's do a capital campaign. Everybody write all your savings accounts to the church today. We'll put up some dorms and we'll live together. Sound good? Yeah? Can I get an usher to come see Hunter with the offering? But the early church did that. And yet here we are in today's culture where it's like, I don't want to spend, I'm too busy. I mean, I think living together would be rough. I love you guys. I can barely live with my own family. There's times I send the kids to the room like, Dad, did we do anything wrong? I'm like, nope, I just need to be alone for a while. Need to not hear you or see you. Love you. Go to your room. Right? So imagine living together. But guys, we've got to live life more together. The Bible tells us to do that. Matter of fact, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, when the church began to grow and change the world so much so that 2,000 years later, here we are, they were together in one accord. The Bible says they had unity of purpose. They have a unity of purpose. And if you're here today and your purpose is just that you don't want to go to hell or you want to come to church on Sunday, it makes you feel good, makes your spouse happy, whatever, those are not horrible things. But guys, the purpose of following Jesus Christ is to follow Him into giving your life for others, to serving, to loving each other and loving the world, to seeing people come to Christ. So if you're a Christian follower of Jesus, your heart is like, what can I do? In the book of Acts, if you're a Christian, you knew we were going to Acts 2, right? If you've been in church, that's right. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47 gives us a little bit of an outline right here. It says this. It says, when they, the people, heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, what shall we do? What should I do? I want to see people saved. I want to see change. I want to see our churches in Hoopston full. I want to see our families and schools and economies do even better. I want to see ultimately the one thing that matters is people come to Jesus Christ. Because all around me, they're on their way to an eternity separated from God. Guys, on a weekly, if not weekly, monthly basis, I do funerals of families that are just no God, no Christ, no connection. I do them all the time. And it's heartbreaking. So Peter said to them, here's what you do. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll be saved, and you'll have your sins forgiven, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here today, and you come on Sundays, and you've never put your faith in Christ, said yes to God's free gift, that's what you have to do. I want to be saved and baptized. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to have eternal life. I want to be forgiven. I want to be part of the church. That's what you have to do. For the promise is to you and all who are far off. It doesn't matter where you are today. Jesus has open arms for you. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received the word were baptized, and many were saved. And listen, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and of prayers. Coming Sunday is not being steadfast in the word, sharing life together, eating together, and being the church. And that's why healthy big churches have life groups. And that's why we must have them, to share life together, to be in the Word together, to be effective as the body of Christ. And it says, fear came upon every soul. Miracles were done. All who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and good and divided among them as anyone had need. We're not going to go there today. Continue daily with one another. breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, and they praised God, and the Lord added continually to those who were being saved. Can I tell you guys why right now God is not continually adding to people being saved in our church? It's because we're disconnected. And I'm so sorry. We do a lot of good things, but we're not connected. We're not really being the body. And if you're a churchgoer, you get it. If you're a guest, the Bible talks about the church as the body of Jesus Christ. Every part working together to go into the world and love and serve and reach people with the message of the good news of the gospel. And we must be more together for that to happen. So in order for that to happen, we must have unity, and we must have you and I being together, making a big church a small church. There's Philippians 2:2 says this. It says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and being of one mind. We must have one unity of purpose, which is to reach our community who is, our community's lost. We have to be of the same purpose of one mind. If you're here this morning and you're not of this mind yet, keep coming. We love you. But if you're a Christian and this is your church, this has to be your mind, because this is going to be the mind of this church. Is we're going to reach lost people. And when we're not doing it, we're going to seek God of how we can do it. And guys, your leadership has done that. And going to groups is, think about this. If 2/3 of you will participate in a group, give the Lord an hour and a half a week. Every group will be doing 2 service projects a year. We will, in Hoopston, outside of these walls, to these lost people, 3 times a month, every month of the year, they'll see this church making an impact. We're not doing that right now. We're doing some stuff. The youth center is going to be great. Things are going. That's wonderful. But that's very targeted for young people. Very targeted. You and I, guys, have got to be more connected, and we've got to go in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts, later on in chapter 4, it says, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. See, guys, this has to be us. I care about lost people coming to Jesus. That's what God cares about. He cares about people. And it said that they had everything in common. This is that common purpose of sharing life together, that unity. The second thing that really that the church needs, that God needs, that Hoopston needs, guys, it's you. If you will commit to this, if you will say, I'm on board, I'm joining a group, if we're not a year from now, if we haven't baptized another 100 people and we're not a much bigger church, you guys can have my head, that's fine. But I need you to be on board with this. For your own sake. Because we're called to make disciples, and disciples make disciples. And we are not being... If you are here today and this is your first Sunday, I want to apologize. We don't have a great way to plug you in right now. I can tell you to come to Sunday school. It's crowded and you got 30 minutes. It's not enough. That's not life, sharing life together. That's not... Our Sunday school classes are great, but they don't go out into the community and serve as a group, as a small church within a church. You. Some recent statistics, these are all in like the 70 to 90% range. Being part of a small group brought me closer to God, made me more confident in my faith, made me more able to live my faith in my everyday life, made me more accepting and forgiving of others. Hallelujah. Don't we all need that? Are you guys around people? Every church that I personally have ever had anything to do with that is big, that is healthy, that is reaching their community, people are coming to Jesus, have life groups. Because let me tell you, if you guys weren't here many years ago, here's what happened. We were a church of about 100 people, so we were pretty connected. Everybody kind of knew everybody. We had stuff where everybody was plugged in. And then God blessed us, and boom, we're much bigger. But we got much more disconnected. And for these last few years, all we've been trying to do a little bit is keep our head above water. And so we've gotten disconnected. And so what has happened since you've been here a long time, feel free to answer. I'm afraid of what you might say. We've gotten disconnected. We're not going out into the community. We're not sharing life. You don't share life on Sunday morning. You don't share life once a month at a quick breakfast. That's not what I mean. As we have stopped sharing life together, we've stopped growing. And there it is. And if you guys think for one second, I'm here for a paycheck or because it's comfortable or because, you know, I love Hoopston that much or whatever, I'm here because this is where I believe God has me and my family to be, to grow the kingdom of God, to reach lost people. And I'm not going to waste my precious breath that I have with this time I have on planet Earth, not doing everything we can to reach the lost. And so we got to be careful, because then we get this focus of, yeah, what do we need to do? Those lost people, whoa. until we look inward. What do I need to do? We can't reach them. And what you need to do is we need to start plugging in with each other. We need to start serving together. We need to start learning the Word together. Let me tell you real briefly my story. Promise I'll be brief. If you've been here many years, you're like, I got to hear this again. Seriously. Just real quick. Grew up in the church, good family, was saved and called into the ministry as a young teenager, and really struggled with that throughout my teen years, whatever. When I went away to college and then started my career, I completely turned my back on God. I didn't want to fulfill that call. I ran from God. I was like Jonah. God, I want nothing to do with a life of ministry. I want to make money, have stuff, have fun. So for about 10 years, I lived life exactly how I wanted to, until through a congruence of events, I found myself for 20 months sitting in a federal prison camp for something that had went on at one of my banks. And I, at that time, finally, just, God, what am I doing with my life? Micah, and he said to me, it wasn't out loud, you remember I called you into ministry, and all you've done is live for yourself. All you've done is do what you wanted to do. And you know what really got me there is it's so scary because, guys, you can't run from God and ignore God without serious consequences. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy and grace. But he's a God who loves you enough to not be ignored. And I have, for whatever reason, God gave me enough grace. He got a hold of me at that time and by his grace turned my life around. But the scarier thing, and this is where unfortunately maybe there's one or two or some of you here headed here today, ignoring God, turning your back on God, not responding to God, to go into eternity with just having ignored and said no to God. And it's going on all around us. And we're called to do something about it. So anyway, I got home. I recommitted my life to Christ and said, the rest of my life is yours. I will serve you in the ministry. That doesn't mean I've got it all together yet. Trust me, I don't. But it means I'm going to just surrender my life to you, Jesus. Reminded me of my calling. I got home. I started speaking some. And I got involved in my church about 3 hours south of here. And for the first time in my life, I then joined a life group. Okay? And here's what happened. I get into this group. I see all these people I've been to church with my whole life. Because even during that decade I didn't go, I would occasionally, Carla would drag me there. You know, when your wife sometimes throws a big enough of a fit, you go to church. So I knew the people. And I had looked at them my whole life as these great church people. They have got it together. I found out they didn't. But it was great for me. And this will be great for you to find out how people have stuff in common with you. The same struggles, the same issues, the same hurt, the same things. I got into that group, and one of the reasons I stopped going to church and I really ran from God was because I couldn't measure up. I can't be good enough to be a Christian. And all these people, they've got it all going on. They're married. They don't struggle like I do. They've kind of got things together, and I'm just not good enough, so just forget it. But when I got involved in a small group for the first time, it blew. You seen those commercials where their heads blow off? Like I think it's a shopping, something for shopping. I'm like, these people are just as messed up as I am. And I, now that doesn't mean we're living in sin. Doesn't mean any kind of crazy stuff. Sometimes it does, whatever. But I'm like, we have this in common. They argue too. They have financial struggles, issue with their kids. Here's how they've overcome. Here's their story. And when stuff happens, I had someone to lean on and vice versa. Besides accepting Christ and having married my wife, marrying my kids, you know, being called to hope, the greatest thing as far as growing my faith, and it's always being in the Word, it's fasting, but the greatest thing like this, the greatest activity was being in a life group. Not even close. If I hadn't gotten involved in a group, I wouldn't be standing here today as your pastor. Because what would have happened was I would have stayed isolated. I'd have came to church on Sunday. I'd have come to the stuff. But I would have never gotten plugged into the body and realized how much I need people and they need me. I mean, there it is. Jesus commands us in his word to study his word together, to live it, to be connected to one another, to serve together, to break bread together, to go out into our world together. And guys, think about this. If you're a Christian, you're going to spend eternity with these people around you. So why would you not spend 90 minutes with them one night a week or one morning a week or one afternoon a week? Because I think if we're just unwilling to spend time together, I don't know if we'll spend eternity together. I don't know because the Bible talks a lot about loving one another. Think of someone you love. Think of your spouse. Think of your child. Think of your grandchildren. What happens when you love someone? You want to spend what with them? Time. So to say I love the brethren, I love you guys, but I'm unwilling to spend time with you, I don't think those two things flesh out. To know Jesus and to love the Lord is to love each other and to be committed. John tells us a couple things about this. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Whoever doesn't love one another lives in death, not life. We know we've passed because we love one another. And it's easy to say. I don't have anything against any of you guys. I love you. But to go into your house, you come into mine, to spend time together, read the Word together, it's not for me. It is for you. Here's something we've lost, I think, in church a little bit. And I don't have any ego, and I don't want this kind of thing. This is Jesus' church. I just work here. But we used to have something, and it's biblical, called spiritual authority. Called, when your pastor said, this is something, guys, we need you to do. I need you to do. This is God's call. You know, people in church used to just do it. So that's what I need from you guys right now. We really need this. We really need to be full of life. Churches within the church. People having relationships, being in God's Word together, and serving together, because the impact of the community will be great. And not just in our homes.